we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, right before the break, I said something. I got on Ed P. got me fired up. I got on a bit of a mini rant, in a good way. And I said, as I was going out for the break, and I hope my comments got all the way through, because I know sometimes I talk into the break and I may get a word or two cut off, but I think the words came out. But I said, you better buck up, ruffians, because we got work to do. And I'm not, you know what, I'm gonna set my notes aside here for a minute and just go with that, because I'll be honest with you, that's where we need to frame ourselves. Frame your minds around the fact that, yes, we had Trump survived an assassination attempt. Yes, we had an amazing Republican National Convention. Yes, Biden capitulated after everything that we knew about him came out in the open. And now, listen, if you think for a second the Democrats are going to lay down and just go, well, darn, we tried. No, they're not. They're going to scratch, claw, kick, and bite all their way to the election. They're going to do everything they can to cheat and steal. They're going to do everything they can to misappropriate the message. They're going to do what they can to make sure that she has money to basically spread her message. And we have got to be about the idea of the grassroots taking back our country. And right as we went to the break, and I said that about ruffians, we got work to do, I was reminded of Ephesians 2:10. And Big Rig and I were talking about not long ago the Message translation of the Bible. If you're familiar with it, the Message translation is a paraphrase. I love how sometimes I'll find a verse and I'll get kind of stuck in that verse for a bit, and I'll go and check it out. A lot of times my personal go-to Bible is a New American Standard, but then I'll go see what it says in the NIV, and then I'll go see what it says in the Amplified, then I'll go see what it says in the King James, and then I'll turn to the Message translation and see if it brings something more to light. This is one of those that does. So Ephesians 2:8-10, I believe it is, and I'm looking because the Message translation doesn't always put the verse markers on. It says, we don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work that we had better be doing. That's a cool line. I love the fact that it points out that, look, we can't save ourselves. We can do all the things we need to do. We can say all the things. We can run, and we can try to plug our fingers in the dike, and we can just, run around with our hair on fire and point fingers and say whatever. But the reality is, we don't play the major role. And this verse is talking largely in terms of salvation, but then he goes on to say that he has created work for us to do. What's your calling? What's your mission? Where are you? Is your mission to impact culture? That's where I feel like mine is. My mission right now is to impact culture. That's where he's placed me. I don't know what yours is. Yours may be as simple as being a good neighbor to that elderly couple next door. I don't know. Yours may be, making sure that your deliveries are done on time. Yours may be a leadership role in your church. I don't know. But your gift, your place of work, that's your mission field. Get her done. And there are times when you can do that, and it's strictly about the kingdom, and I get that. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. The kingdom is the most responsibility. When God calls us to a mission that enhances his kingdom and makes his message known, that's the highest calling. But there are things that are done also in the world in which we live that provide the opportunity to build the environment in which that is better suited to be heard, right? And I would say that the United States of America has been a place that was designed for the opportunity for freedom of religion and the expression of faith and the freedom of belief and the right of assembly and all these things that, if you get down to it, it's what the military calls shaping the battle space. It's the idea that we have a moment in time that we've been given work to do. You may not be the one who preaches the sermon, but maybe you're the one that helps set the stage so the sermon can be preached. Does that make sense? You may be the one who, you know what? I can't do this show without Big Rig pushing the buttons. I can't. My gift is not over there trying to figure out why the amps are on or not. If the phones go down, I don't know what to do with them. My job is to be here messaging every single day for all of y'all, and I can't do it without him pushing the buttons. So he's got work to do. I've got work to do. You've got work to do. And I love the way this verse says it from the Message translation, Ephesians 2:10. He creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work that we had better be doing. Your salvation is not based in works. I will never imply to you that it is. Salvation through Jesus Christ is a relationship with him, period. But I do believe that you'll be held accountable for whether or not you were a good steward with the things that he placed in you. Have you taken authority over that which he's placed you in? Have you walked in integrity? Have you done the work that he's prepared for you? Work that you had better be doing. Okay. I don't know where all that came from, but I'll just call it inspired and move right on. But there you have it. That's Ephesians 2:10 in the Message if you want to go see it. All right, listen, I got a few text messages. Let me grab some of those. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, I love the alsos. I always wait to see what the also is going to be. Thank you, John. Also, I just want to say that your nephew, JP, oh yeah, my nephew, JP, did a great job hosting the Yaffe program this morning, except I was a little disappointed he didn't open up the text lines. Wow, I'll get on to him for that. Says, by the way, Big Rig earned 10 extra credit points for not watching any of Biden's exit speech. Because I didn't either. He said, also, I think a nothing burger sounds like the best hamburger you can buy at the Democrat Burger King. Have it our way or leave. Oh, wow. That's John, you got to write my monologues, man. Jeremy, by the way, I will get on to JP about not opening the text lines. Jeremy from Madison says, really, I'd have a problem with anyone other than Kamala Harris stepping in for Biden. After all, she was a heartbeat away from being president all along. I'm no fan of either of them, no fan of the Democrat Party, but Democrats are aware that she could be president anytime. Are any Democrats upset that she's the nominee? Probably not, but there are some. There are. And keep in mind, she could have been given the opportunity to run, right? So, yes, she was a heartbeat away, but the way our electoral system works is technically, if Biden had been truthful, if he had been acting with integrity, he would have recognized over a year ago that, you know, my time was up. He didn't just have an epiphany this weekend and suddenly decide to pass the torch to the younger generation like he said. No. Please. What happened was he just literally got basically trounced by leaders in his own party who said, we're losing, Joe, would you get out of the way? And so he capitulated. Had he been honest and had he not been so prideful over a year ago, he could have stepped aside. The Democrats would have had Kamala, who would have been challenged by Cornel West, Marianne Williamson, I've forgotten the other guy's name, and probably RFK Jr., and she would have had to fight for the right to be a nominee through the electoral process, which is what's supposed to happen. But no, somehow or another, they carried on as far as you did, and they just basically let her waltz into it. Now, she's not the nominee yet. We'll talk about that. Officially, she's not. But what they've basically done is crowned her and said, everybody get out of the way. T.L. from Huntsville said, I have shared before that Thomas Paine said, quote, those who want to reap the benefits of this great nation must bear the fatigue of supporting it. But another significant point was made recently by Charlene Ann Mildred, who wrote in The Medium, wow, the silence of voter apathy echoes through the halls of democracies, revealing a malaise that threatens the very foundations of free societies. Good heavens, that's a great quote. Read that again. The silence of voter apathy echoes through the halls of democracies, revealing a malaise that threatens the very foundations of free societies. I feel smarter for reading T.L.'s texts. You know what I'm saying? Do I get continuing ed for reading T.L.'s texts? I should. Good stuff, T.L. Gary from Decatur says, the worst part of this battle is when they started openly using lawfare against conservatives and we stood by and let them get away with it. We should have demanded that activist judges be removed for legislating from the bench, but SCOTUS decided to hide out and let lower courts affirm their actions. The Constitution's a terrible thing to waste. Yeah, Gary, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that we've capitulated. We have fought, and we don't always win, but we've won quite a few. And if you think about it, the lawfare that Trump's been enduring has actually been going pretty good of late. I'm just glad that Trump has the resources to put into it. Otherwise, he would have taken a plea deal a long time ago and walked away. A couple more, and then I'll head to the break. John from Harvest says, oh my gosh, this is a long one. He says, Phil, I apologize for the length of this, but just to piggyback on your comments on Ed P's text, one of the strengths of your show, oh, thank you, is you unashamedly treat the Gospels and Scripture as well as gospel. It's even part of your show message. Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and life's worth living. I'm so thankful that he knows that. I am. Thank you. That is actually, that's the message of our show. In Matthew 16:18, he says, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. I've usually seen this explained in a defensive way, i.e. the church will withstand the assaults of hell. But it can also be interpreted as offensively, i.e. the gates of hell cannot stop the spreading of the gospel to every place by people who are leading and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, like you, I'm optimistic about this country. So, fellow ruffians, says John from Harvest, pray without ceasing, put on the armor of God, get forward in your foxhole, and get ready to advance with confidence in our Lord. What an audience I have! Big Rig, are you taking note of this audience, man? I'm just saying. 5 extra points for you for the applause, by the way. I didn't even ask for it. You just hit it. Teresa from Town Creek says, now is the time to pray up, stand up, and never give up. The fight is not over. Yes. And then Ed P. texted again. He says, Phil, sorry you got so fired up. You're right. He says, when my wife and I feel frustrated and hopeless, we just remember that God has got this. The thread that weaves throughout the events of the last month is that all this is happening in accordance with God's will. He saved Donald Trump. He exposed Joe Biden. He'll see us through. But like you said, we need to do our part and give the rest to God. Get her done, Ed P. And then Russell from Rural Route 1, because I had to have something hard to say, says they knew that Joe wasn't fit, including the news media, and they lied to us until the debate exposed them. There it is, summary. All right, listen, we're gonna step out. We're gonna take a message, a break, and then I'm gonna come back with the message. I'm gonna talk about the nothing burger that was last night, the 11 minutes that the nation will never get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. I'm proud of this audience. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so the nothing burger. So last night, President Biden gave a speech. And, you know, I literally, the grandkids were at the house, you know, everything. And I told Charlene, I said, I feel like I got to watch this speech. She's like, yeah. So I went in my study and just turned it on by myself and watched it. That's 11 minutes of my life I will never get back. That I watched it, and I'll tell you, I have a number of impressions. In fact, I actually just printed out what I posted on my Twitter feed last night. I sort of live tweeted my impressions of it, and I'm going to get to those in a moment. I will tell you this, my impressions kind of match what conservative America saw, and yet at the same time, the Democrats saw the second coming. I mean, they saw literally Moses returning from the mountaintop. They saw thunder. The lightning was flashing. It was amazing. It was such a statesmanlike moment. No, it wasn't. It was sad. I'll be honest with you. I know that I'm biased. I'm big enough man to say that. I know I'm biased. This is a conservative radio show. I'm a conservative talk show guy, right? I'm a longtime Republican, former elected official, all of it. But the bottom line is this. As objective as I try to be sometimes, that was like a nothing burger. It was hollow. It sort of rang hollow. Red State has a piece they wrote, and the headline is just, what was that? They quote Britt Hume from Fox, who I really respect Britt Hume, his ability to wordsmith things and to see things clearly, and he's been doing this for a lot of years. Britt Hume said, it's an extraordinary period of news as I can remember. I've been in this for well over half a century, and in terms of news, this is the most tumultuous period I can think of. It is. But the article goes on to point out that Joe Biden was supposedly going to give a speech last night to explain to us why he abandoned his efforts to run for president. I mean, I really thought that he was going to address the 14 million people who had voted for him. even sort of, I'll be honest with you, in the back of my mind, I thought he may actually say, I'm stepping down from office so Kamala can, you know, have the reins and do what she's got to do as president and have some incumbency to claim to her name and be called President Kamala Harris for the rest of the campaign season. No, he didn't do that. He made it real clear in a low, raspy, tired voice with a lot of makeup on and his hair slicked back, and you could tell he had just put drops in his eyes, that you could just tell that as he read the teleprompter with no emotion. I mean, you're talking about a moment that the world would not have faulted you if you had not had a bit of emotion or at the very least shown some animation. But he didn't. He kind of stared at the camera and he just talked like this the whole time. And he had a low voice. And every once in a while he'd do this with his voice and it would come back down. And it was just sad, y'all. It was like a shell of a man who had been beaten down and who realized he had no options and was being sent to the house and no longer needed, felt bad about himself, but he had to try and put on a stiff upper lip and go out there in front of the people. That's what it was. So Red State actually called it a inexplicable sleep-inducing monologue that threw in all kinds of high-minded ideals like democracy and who we are. He did. So here's my take on it from last night. Let's see how much I can get out before the break. First of all, I will say this. The bar was low. The bar was very low. I mean, all he had to do was not go blank, right? Not lose his way, do something better than the June 27th debate. So by the Biden standard, I guess he stuck the landing. There's that. The bar was really low. He also looked very embalmed. I mean, have you ever seen somebody in an open casket funeral when they like them? You can just look, you look at them and go, you hear somebody go, well, they look so lifelike. Not really. They look like they've been, you know, got makeup all over them. It doesn't look like them anymore. He looked embalmed. The overkill makeup did not help. His voice was raspy. He sounded kind of breathless. He did apparently stay on script. There's that. Part of me wondered if he was being kept under wraps for the 6 days prior to that because the Democrats were scared of what he'd say. Don't you, you put me in front of a camera and I'll tell them what you did to me, you know, or I didn't want to step down, but they told me, you know, well, I won't tell you what they told me, but it was not good and I didn't like it. But here I am. I'm calm like I can have it, whatever. Forget y'all. I mean, I kind of half expected him to go off script, but he didn't. He stayed on script. So for the Democrats, that was a win. It turned into a mini State of the Union. There's that. It turned into like a mini State of the Union where he spent a lot of time describing all the things he believes he's done, like trying to justify himself. Like, I'm getting run off, but, you know, they're not taking into account. I did this thing and I spent this money and I gave people free stuff and I wiped out student loans and I did stuff. And so there, what do you think of that? That's the way it felt. Like, no, you did. No, here's what I did. That's what it felt like. It felt like a guy who had a chip on his shoulder and a need to prove himself in the midst of it. I got more of these. I have a whole litany of them, a list, a vast list of things that I saw last night. And we'll talk about it when I get back on the Nothing Burger. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Where'd hour number one go? Who took? Do you speed up the clock? What just happened here? Like the whole hour's gone already? Yep. There are days, man. There are days when it just flies by.
It does.
So I'm talking about the Nothing Burger, last night's speech by President Biden. I'm giving you some of my things. I mentioned I have on my own Twitter feed. You can go see it if you want to. Last night I was live tweeting my impressions. You can find it at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams on Twitter. I said the first thing I said was the bar was low. I mean, by the Biden standard, I guess he stuck the landing. He looked embalmed. He was way over makeuped. He did stay on script, apparently, which I think the Democrats were breathing a sigh of relief about that. It was like a mini State of the Union. So he didn't give us why he stepped down. They're going to say he did, but he didn't. He didn't talk about how the decision came about over the weekend while he had COVID, unable to be out and about and even do a Zoom call. He didn't do any of that. What he did was just basically say he wanted to pass the torch. Okay. Like, you just thought that up? Like, you just, well, I decided to pass the torch. You just went through the primary. You won the primary. You told us you were good. You said you can handle it. Well, it's time for me to pass the torch to the younger generation. I thought you said age doesn't matter. Anyway. So yeah, he did. That's one of the things I wrote on here. He's had a change of heart on age, and he wants to pass the torch. That really? Come on. I'm trying to kid a kidder here. He made no explanation about his physical condition. He didn't say anything about being absent for 6 days. He didn't even mention the fact that he's just like literally not even had a picture taken of him for 6 days. He didn't describe anything about how he came to his decision after being gone for 6 days. At this point, was he on the mountaintop, you know, getting direction? I don't know what happened. But he did say this. He intends to remain in office for the next 6 months. He does. He's going to finish out his term. You and I and all God's children know he's not strong enough to run for office, but apparently he's still strong enough to be our president. I like I said it before, I really half expected him to tender his resignation. I did. But instead, in the middle of like talking about what an incredible presidency he's had, it's been incredible. It's been awesome. We've done all the things. Then he talked about what he's still going to do for the next 6 months. Get this. He wants to revise the Supreme Court. What? I'm sorry, that's the Constitution. That requires an amendment to the Constitution. He wants to strengthen NATO. He wants to cure cancer. He wants to cure cancer? He said that. He calls it his moonshot to cure cancer as we know it. What? He wants to spur the economy and bring the middle class back to a place of not having to pay so much. You're the reason why we're there. And he wants to bring peace to Gaza. That's a pretty ambitious list of things he intends to try and accomplish for a guy who's a frail, lame duck who has no control over Congress right now. So here's the bottom line. I wrote this last night. I said, he's done. He's going to clear his calendar. He'll issue a few pardons. He'll give some awards. He'll leave for his beach house in Delaware every Thursday through Monday. That's it. That's what he's going to do. He's going to ride out 6 months like that. All right, other impressions, though. I think Democrats probably openly love the speech while privately whispering that it was just too much. He went a little too far. And at the same time, heaving a sigh of relief that it's over. And then Republicans like you and me, we're left shaking our heads going, good gosh, that's what you did with 11 minutes? And I would say this, I think that's what Republicans and Democrats are doing. That's what a polarized America is doing. I think the world, though, is wondering how he's going to serve out that term and hoping that no crisis arises that, you know, requires U.S. leadership for six more months. Like, I would never want to see a national or international crisis, but let's especially hope one doesn't happen in the next 6 months. Here's my last impression of this, though. My last impression on the Twitter last night, that it was likely a hard night. We're told, you know, as if it means something to us. His whole family was there in the room, in the Oval Office. Hunter, Jill, grandkids, all of them were in the Oval Office, kind of crowded around watching. There were tears. So I'll say this. It's 50 years. That whole family identifies as the family of Biden. His entire identity has been wrapped up in being an elected official for 50 years. On the one hand, I don't fault him. I get it. It's what he's used to. It's where he's been. But you can tell by the fact that he clung to it so long that he does not know where his identity lies except in being an elected official. And that's sad. And so the sadness now is to recognize that apparently the whole family is at a wake as they watch what they're used to die and pass on. So yeah, he's going to probably personally be very quiet right now. But watch out for those around him, though, because I think they resent it. There was already one story this morning that someone within the Biden camp, so to speak, had leaked out that Obama really doesn't like Harris as the choice. Well, I'm telling you right now, you got leakers and whistleblowers that can push back in some odd ways. And there's a whole Biden family that feels ticked off right now. And if you think for a second that Jill's going to be just happy with the idea that she won't get any more Vogue covers, or that Hunter is going to feel comfortable with the idea that sugar daddies aren't going to line up to buy his artwork anymore, think again. So I would imagine that there's been some reading of the way things are to members of the Biden family. He's going to make this speech, and you're all going to get in line. Do we understand each other? There's been some of that, I guarantee you, behind the scenes. The question is, will they do it? Because, yeah, they've got 50 years of developing their own connectivity in the DC power circuits. They know people who can leak. They know people who can say the right thing. They can find reporters who want a story. They can say stuff, and don't think they won't. Last couple of things, I'll tell you, you know, what's amazing too is to watch the way folks handled it. So, New York Post talks about the fact that President Biden said, "I revere this office, but I love my country more." Okay. "It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president, but the defense of democracy," these are the phrases he went with, "the defense of democracy, democracy as we know it, is at risk." And he did say, "This is a defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think, is more important than any title." Sure, that's what it is. He said he also stepped down to unite his party. "I want to unite the Democrats." Well, that's a purely political play. So if you're going to say you're all about democracy, but you're going to throw out the votes of 14 million people who you told you could run, but you're still strong enough to be the president, but you told them you're not going to be their candidate now, even though they just voted for you, then are you really uniting for democracy's sake, which is at stake, you say? Or is it because you're just making a political play? We all see it, and we know exactly what it is. It's a political play. And then, you know, the whole thing about the Supreme Court, whew, listen, you want to go down that road? Here's the thing. The reason why I said that is because Democrats need a boogabear. They need something scary. So right now, the boogabears for Democrats, they're going to talk about it over and over and over again, is a threat to democracy. The Supreme Court, which is filled with MAGA judges. Project 2025, which is the downfall of the Western world as we know it. And abortion. That's what they're running on. They're not running on what we'll do for you. They're running on what you're going to do to us if we don't beat you. That's what they're running on. They're running on fear. Then there was CNN's Van Jones, who, I'll be honest with you, I don't care for Van Jones's rhetoric, but he has been rather candid of late, and it's been interesting. And Van Jones last night, story here on townhall.com, Van Jones last night said that basically exiting the race was selfless, but he did point out the president seemed tired, but at least coherent. That's a heck of a bar. If that's your threshold, man, he was tired, but at least he was coherent. If that's the bar.
He was coherent because of the teleprompter.
Well, he doesn't always do that very well either. Yeah, how many true. Times has he read the teleprompter and actually read out things like end quote or period?
We beat Medicaid.
Yeah, we did. Last thing is Daily Wire. Daily Wire had a piece on this, and I won't give you the whole thing, but they mentioned the fact that Frank Biden, who is Joe's brother, Frank Biden actually came out and said that his brother Joe's health was the contributing factor in why he chose to end his campaign, at which point a member of the Biden family quickly responded to the press by smearing Frank Biden and saying Frank Biden suffers from alcoholism and has not spoken to his brother in weeks. What he said is completely untrue. Wow. Don't get off message. Dad's fine. But the headline for the Daily Wire article was, Biden won't give a reason for why he ended his campaign in a speech about giving away his campaign. Wow. It was a nothing burger. It absolutely was. It was sad. It was probably the last time he'll address the nation. It's 50 years. 50 years that we're finally going to see a Biden-free DC. I'm okay with that. Take me to a break, Big Rig. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'll get some text messages and take it all the way down to the bottom of the hour. We're going to have some Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Giving you all the truth you can put on your bumper stickers. Slinging truth bombs everywhere we go. All right. I got a bunch of text messages, one of which, by the way, came from my brother a moment ago, who just reminded me of something. I'd forgotten this, that Barack Obama did not endorse Joe Biden in 2020. He didn't. That's right. I'd forgotten this. In fact, I got to go back and look, but didn't Barack Obama support Hillary Clinton over Joe Biden back in 2016 also? So there's some testiness right here. That's a great point. My brother Chris digging that one out of the past. Mike from Huntsville, your comments on President Biden are way beyond vile and disgusting. You as a vet would vote for Trump. Shameful. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. Guess what? It's an opinion show, dude. That's what I do. You're welcome to yours, even though I think it's tripe. Badger from Athens says, for giggles, already hearing that his speech was pre-recorded. Yeah. If you pause and stop the video where you can see his watch, the time and the broadcast time don't match up. What do you think? I did hear that. I don't know for a fact. It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And listen, here's the other thing. They had an airtime where they were going to air the speech, right? They did. They went live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central from the Oval Office, allegedly. But Jill Biden had to get on a plane and fly to France, and she barely had time to get there according to her schedule. By the way, why is she still going to France? I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so Jill Biden made it, but she was also in the Oval Office for his speech. So listen, if it was recorded, I wouldn't be surprised. Was it recorded just because of timing and they had to take care of that and they couldn't conflict with the networks? I don't know. Was it because he does really bad after sundown? Maybe. Was it because of Jill's travel schedule? I don't know. I've heard that before. It'd be interesting to see. Bruce from Springville says, I wonder if Jill's consulting a lawyer to dump Joe. Ah, oh, nah, I don't think so. I don't see that. Nah, that's Bruce, I can't even go there. And Hunter's now squealing because his get-out-of-jail-free card just got stepped down. He's still going to be the past president of the United States. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised to see that there's some arrangement where if Kamala gets elected, Hunter gets pardoned. But I have no reason to believe that Jill's going to dump her husband. I can't go there. Thomas from Athens, note at the end of Biden's speech, he said, end of remarks. Did he really? I didn't catch that. End of remarks. Did he say that? Wow. Brad from Limestone County says, Phil, recall that curing cancer was a promise Biden made multiple times on the campaign trail back in 2019 and 20. So then he has got to cure cancer before leaving office or he's a liar. It's a bold plan, Cotton. Raven from Russellville says, I feel so sorry for the folks in the armed services with this potato as the commander-in-chief. Well, Mike from Huntsville feels like veterans should never vote for Trump. So how do... Anyway, thanks, Raven. Appreciate you. Stay in the fight. Bruce from Hazel Green says, President Biden will spend the rest of his time in Delaware laying on the beach. He will not work the last 6 months of his term. I agree. I think he'll do some perfunctory things, like I said. I think he'll issue some awards. He'll shake some hands. They'll nod to him and tell him it's all going to be okay. He'll ask, is the world still here? Yes, it is, Mr. President. Thank you. Wake me up when it's time to eat. And I really think he's going to go into chill mode for the next 6 months. John C. from Madison, he will probably pardon his son. He might. Richard T. from Madison says, do you believe in the Antichrist? Well, I believe in Scripture, so why would I not? I guess I need to go ahead and read this text and see what's going on. It says the Antichrist will compare himself to Jesus and be embraced by the church. Okay. The Electoral College is the biggest voter suppression system we have. Okay. The winner take all is not what our founding fathers wanted. Good Lord, Richard T. Richard T. is going all in on this one, isn't he? Richard T., I do not believe the Electoral College is a sign of the Antichrist. I think what that is a design for fairness and equity so that the little guys don't get trounced on by the big guys. That's what I think it is. Alex from Huntsville, Obama endorsed Biden in April of 2020. It's easy to find. Okay, I need to go back and look at that, but I think it was 2016 where he went with Hillary as opposed to Joe. Gary from Decatur said, there was a scenario floating around that Joe will leave office to allow Harris to become president and use incumbency for an additional boost in the election, right? It's no secret that Obama has no love for Biden, and now he's a lame duck and no longer useful. Why not dump him because of his health issues? I don't know. I don't know, except that may have been part of the deal. I really believe that. I think that they had to wheedle a deal out of him, and his deal was, I don't want to be the president that left office. I want to finish out my term. So let me be a hero, and if you'll let me be a hero, I'll step down and let her have it. And I really think that was part of the deal. That was part of the negotiation. For 6 days, we didn't see him. A snap decision came out, apparently. He said he made the decision that morning on Sunday. He issued a statement on social media, and here we are. And then Bob from Madison says, Jill's going to France for the Olympics. Oh, good. Great. Carrying the torch. Coming right back, we got some Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.